Time for Curious Wisconsin. One of the people who resisted Nazi Germany from the inside was Milwaukee-born Mildred Fish Harnack, a University of Wisconsin graduate who, with her husband, went to Germany and became increasingly involved in the dangerous politics of the times.
We'll hear her story now from Joe Waldinger, who produced a documentary about Mildred Fish Harnack for Wisconsin Public Television. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, how did Mildred Fish Harnack become so interested in German politics?
Well, I think part of it was where she grew up. At the time she was living in Milwaukee, it was the most German of American cities. It was also socialist politics. The fact that there was a socialist mayor, it was the largest American city that had a socialist mayor and a socialist city council. So there were left-leaning ideas from when she was a child, even growing up in Milwaukee. And of course, these were Germans who brought these political ideas to Milwaukee.
And were Mildred and her husband socialists themselves?
Well, you know, that's really hard to say. They were definitely left-leaning. They were progressive. Her family said that she became that way when she came here and got educated in Madison. But, you know, when they went to Germany, they saw a need and a need to fight against what Hitler was espousing to the German people. A lot of people would say, well, OK, she was communist. Well, she never joined the Communist Party. She had a very strong interest in Russia. But what she was interested in was women's rights at the time in Russia, equal pay for women, maternity leave. In the case of divorce, child support, maternity, time off, all those types of things that we don't really look at as radical or as communist. She was more left-leaning, progressive, possibly socialist, never joined the Communist Party. She did join the Nazi Party, so I can tell people that, but she did that in order to continue to work to survive. So her politics were definitely left-leaning.
Was that unusual for a woman of that era to be that deeply politically active? And she also had not just anti-Nazi sentiments, she had feminist sentiments.
Absolutely. She was, as many people say, many years ahead of her time. You know, even with her name being a hyphenated name, she kept her maiden name when she got married. But she was very well known, educated woman. She had her master's degree. She was teaching at Berlin University, the first American woman, first American to teach at Berlin University.
Was she there already before Hitler came to power in 1933?
She arrived in 1929. So she met her husband here, who was a German scholar. He actually went back to Germany without her after they had gotten married, and she joined him. Ended up in Berlin teaching. He was finishing his several degrees, one in law and one in economics, and then joined her in Berlin. So she saw the rise of what was happening there, and actually it's documented in letters. She wrote her mother almost every week, and the first letters were very much of, my life is full from sunup to sundown in Berlin, what a wonderful city. And then those letters started to change when Hitler came to power, and you could see she started even writing code, writing the opposite of what she meant.
Well, you said that she joined the Nazi Party undercover. Does that mean that she and her husband were spies?
Well, she joined the Nazi Party in order to keep a teaching job. Her husband refused and didn't join until 1937, which was like the last possible moment. He was a government employee, which was really unusual not to have joined the party until that late. But I would say, yes, that was part of the reason that they did it, if anybody questioned them. She was definitely providing, helping to provide the Americans with information. Her husband had economic information. He worked in the economics department in Germany. The Americans wanted to know where the Germans had their assets as they prepared for the war. Mildred was known to have traveled around Europe gathering documents in order to get Jewish friends out and even Jewish strangers out of the country. And we also know that the group that they were involved in, this resistance circle in Berlin, provided military information to the Russians.
And do we know if she came to the Americans, or if the Americans recruited her to provide that information?
It's an interesting story. Mildred was one of the first people to meet Ambassador Dodd and his daughter Martha Dodd when they arrived in Berlin. She actually met them at the train station. She was part of an American women's group there that welcomed them. Her and Martha Dodd, the ambassador's daughter, became very good friends. So she was often in the U.S. Embassy. And in later years, when the Americans were looking for financial information, they had an in because they knew that her husband worked in the economics department.
So World War II era Germany, Nazi Party, Adolf Hitler, it's dangerous stuff, right? How rough did it get for her while she was over there?
It got very rough. She lost a lot of weight. She was having a hard time getting enough food. But her friends always said the Harnacks were the first to give away their food and their medicine and whatever else someone needed. it got very tense for her. And at one point, Arvid bought her a ticket out, a boat ticket. He wanted her to leave. She said, absolutely not. My place is next to you. I'm staying here. There's still work to be done. And when she was arrested, that boat ticket was found in her purse.
People who knew her, I mean, did it make sense to them that she would have this devotion and this intensity against a known risk?
Well, it's funny. Well, she came back to the States in 1937, and she was very hush-hush about what she was doing in Germany. She did not talk about the secret life that she had at all. And in fact, a lot of her family members believed that she had, quote, gone Nazi, which couldn't have been further from the truth. But she was very much aware of the risk. She was very much tormented by the long hours that they were putting in and the risk involved. And as women in this group, there were 18 women, which, again, is a very telltale sign of the important role that the women played in this group. They had the most dangerous roles. She was a recruiter. She also handled top secrets and information and relayed it from one point to the next. So, you know, trying to recruit someone, it's easy to get caught when you talk to the wrong person. And then also transporting secret papers. I mean, there's documentation and eyewitness accounts of rendezvous that she held in certain parks in Berlin with other people who were undercover.
And how did she get caught?
She got caught because of a Soviet blunder. The Soviets were desperate for information. Over the years, Arvid had had several contacts within the Russian embassy in Berlin. Stalin kept purging those people, though, and so those contacts kept changing. And at one point during the war, the Russians were desperate to get information, and instead of using their code names, they actually transmitted in code the Harnack's name and their address, along with two other members of the group and their address. And so about 9 months later, the Germans decoded this information, and there were the names and the addresses spelled out, not the code names that the Soviets had given the Harnack's.
Now, I understand that Hitler himself took a personal interest in Mildred's case.
It's true. We don't know exactly why. There's some speculation that they may have met at one point, and that meeting might not have went very well. She was well known in Berlin as one being the wife of this high-ranking German official. She had contacts in the U.S. Embassy. She was also an educated teacher, and people knew her in Berlin. They said she was tall and she was beautiful, and they believe Hitler may have wanted to meet her. And he went to the night school where she was at, and that meeting didn't go very well. There's no way that we can prove that this meeting happened, but it explains why maybe she was treated differently, held in isolation when she was in prison, not allowed to speak or interact with any other female prisoners. She was the only American in their custody at that time. And it's said that, you know, her sentence originally was 6 years prison, 6 years hard labor, and Hitler had to sign off on this, and he refused to, along with another woman who was German. Again, he was embarrassed. He was stunned by the size of this group and what information they had had, because they came from all levels of society, and Hitler, in his huge ego, thought, I am being supported by all Germans, and this group proved that he was not.
Do we have any sense of what her time was like in jail, in isolation, before she was executed?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Two of her cellmates, years later, one, Arvid had left a farewell letter for Mildred that he gave her on the night before their trial started, and Mildred passed that letter on to her cellmate, who 10 years after the war returned it to the Harnack family, because that was Mildred's wish. And this way, the Harnacks got in contact then with two people who had actually seen Mildred in prison, and they had talked about how sickly she had become, how she was treated differently than the other female prisoners, how she was held in isolation. But she also had a stub of a pencil and did a lot of writing, and that seemed to soothe her in her final days. But she had, her hair had grown completely gray within a 4-month period of when she was imprisoned.
She was ultimately executed by beheading. Was that common practice for the Nazis at the time?
Well, there were 18 guillotines in operation at that time in Nazi Germany, but believe it or not, that was the most humane way of execution, is what they believed. Her husband was actually hanged by a short rope, which was a Nazi torture technique specifically designed for this group because it prolonged the death. So the guillotine was actually viewed as something more humane.
So looking back on her life, what she sacrificed, how she died, what did they accomplish, she and her husband?
It's a good question, and I asked that question to a family member, and they said the only thing they were successful at is getting themselves killed, which in one sense, you can look at it that way, because they provided the Americans a lot of financial information, but the Americans were more interested at that time, not so much in what was happening to the Jews, but how this might affect the stock market in this country. And they also had warned the Russians 9 months before the Germans had broken their pact and invaded the Soviet Union, and Stalin thought it was a ruse. He thought it was propaganda, and so he completely ignored that information. So here's this great bit of information that may have changed the war, and the Russians completely ignored it, although we do know that she did help people escape, get out of Germany. She provided comfort for those Jews who were left behind. We just don't know how many, so it's really uncertain how successful they were.
Joel, fascinating story. Briefly, what led you to follow this thread?
I was on a German-American journalism fellowship and went to former Gestapo headquarters, and there was her picture, and it said University of Wisconsin-Madison, and a brief paragraph about her, and I was like, who is this lady and why don't I know anything about her? Came back here to the States, did a little bit of research on her, and found her there really wasn't much, but a day in Wisconsin public schools, September 16th, is a day of recognition, and had kids in the public schools, and they didn't know about her either, so that was my motivation to go out and find more.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about her.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Joel Waldinger. He produced the Wisconsin Public Television documentary, Wisconsin's Nazi Resistance, the Mildred Fish Harnack story. He joined us for this week's installment of Curious Wisconsin.